Hey, Brian.
Brian Christopherson.
I gotta take this a tap.
Be right. B-Roni drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was bright.
Brian Christopherson, Husker 24/7 on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
All right, joined now by Brian Christopherson of Husker 24/7, who is allowed, he's allowing us to interview him because I subscribe to his podcast. Shout out to Pat Bev.
Does he subscribe to yours, though?
Well, it doesn't matter in this case because he's not interviewing me. BC, what's going on?
Not a lot. Thanks for subscribing. I wasn't worried about it, but that's nice of you. And I haven't subscribed to yours, but I will if that keeps me going with you.
It will. It definitely would. This is the new thing. It's new media, of course. It's, Pat Beverly is teaching all of us. All right, so we haven't got your thoughts on the spring game yet. Although you could if you're listening to the Husker 24/7 podcast. But give me like the baseline. I think we talked about it last week, but like the baseline expectation going into the game, and then now I'm just talking general offense. I'm not Dylan Raiola specific.
Yeah.
General expectation going into the game, and then what you got out of it on Saturday.
I expected that it would be a lot crisper than last year, and that was a big thing, and it was. And, you know, if you go back to last season, I've said this before, but even in the scrimmages leading up to the spring game, Matt Rhule offered warning signs that turned out to be very relevant when we got to the fall about, you know, just sort of unforced errors and that sort of thing. This spring, leading into the scrimmage or the big scrimmage, you were hearing, okay, the turnovers are down a bit, you know, knock on wood as Marcus Satterfield did up there, but it seemed like it was trending the right way. And I just thought that part of it, I felt a lot better. Like you didn't just see a lot of silliness or, you know, pre-snap malfunctions and things like that. So I thought it was pretty solid in that regard for what it was. Obviously, there were the two turnovers. You know, one goes off receiver's hands, another nice play by the defense. But that part, to me, was one of the biggest things. I thought, like, it was just a solidly played scrimmage, you know. And obviously, Dylan Raiola was the big name on the marquee. And considering the expectations and all the, you know, eyeballs on him that he's used to at this point, he performed very well. I mean, I walk out of that spring game feeling as good about an individual performance as I felt about, like, you know, any spring games I've seen for a long time, because I just have the feeling when you watch him play and the poise he has, you know, he has those traits that everyone was hoping he would have, and he put them on display when everyone was watching. So I thought it was very encouraging on that.
As we've had time to think about it more and more, it wasn't, you know, we saw whether you were at the game and then you took in the coverage afterwards. And of course you scroll through and you see all the highlights, like the touchdowns on the deep throw. And you know, it's actually been the little stuff for me that has resonated more, just like, hey, Nebraska had a kind of clean and quick screen game. And I know it was the defense isn't necessarily going all out and whatever you want to throw into it for context, it's all true. But that was just normal stuff was executed. That ended up being like my biggest high point in thinking about what actually occurred on Saturday.
I agree totally with you. It just looked fluid with the stuff that should be routine, you know, like, and the stuff that should be routine hasn't been at times. It's been like a fire drill out there, and those, you know, basic passes you would think are basic passes obviously aren't always as easy as they look, because Nebraska's made it that way in past years. But, you know, Dylan was giving guys, you know, on those short screens, like the ball where it needs to be to run with it and make a play. I like the 3rd and 10 completion, you know, to Bullock for like 22 yards. And it's a pretty standard play they run there. And not all the ones are on the field on the defense. Some are sitting out, of course, but nonetheless, it would just look crisp. You saw the zip on the pass, and it's like, okay, it's sort of an expectation that it can work, you know, that it was going to work. And then I thought, like, on the 2-point conversion where he, you know, put that ball in the bull. I think it was Bullock again.
Yep.
That was one of those passes that I think was a pretty tricky little throw to put into the window. He did with the touch he did that he made look rather simple. And I don't know that a lot of guys would have been able to do that. So, and Harvard played very well too, I thought. I mean, I just thought he looked composed out there, and, you know, the throw to Borkercher I thought was great. And, you know, he had a good one to Barney for the touchdown. So I think it elevated the confidence of the fans to just see it with their own eyes. They'd heard the stuff and they were hopeful. And for that particular scrimmage that gets analyzed and talked about for the next 3 to 4 months and we go off of, that those guys really came through. You know, the reason I really like Raiola's performance too, compared to some past like individual spring game standouts, is it was a constant drumbeat of like just solid stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes, you know, we highlight like Jamal Turner flipping into the end zone or something. And I don't remember what Turner did that day, but my point is that we've had spring games where guys have been the headliner before or the big story, but maybe they only made like 2 or 3 plays. You know, they made like 2 nice plays and we're kind of buzzing about those 2 plays. With Raiola's performance, it was just a consistent, like, yep, that looks like it's supposed to throughout his 2.5 quarters or whatever. And that's where it maybe differentiates for me compared to some of these we've talked
totally.
About in the past.
Yeah, he was just good the whole time. Sometimes really good, but at the very least good the whole time. One thing that I've been trying to kind of get out there this week and tell people, this is my thought, BC, I don't know if you echo it, but like, I wonder how much, obviously the quarterback play has improved. You mentioned, you know, Dylan Raiola is a huge upgrade over what they had last year. But not only that, Harburg is better. Like, the room just feels like it's in a better place. But also the stuff around them seems to be in a much better place. The wide receivers with the depth there and the pass production is good. And even with the guys that you didn't see in the spring game, if you're projecting that room forward. Tight ends have an opportunity to make some noise this year. The offensive line is another year further along in its development. We'll see how kind of the run game comes along with all of that. One of the things that I've been saying this week is, like, I think Dylan Raiola, as good as he is, walks into one of the best situations that a quarterback has walked into as it pertains to the stuff around him that we've seen in probably a while. Like, what's your thought on, well, what's the first thing that hits your mind on just the spot that he goes into and the position for success that he has, regardless of his own talent?
Yeah, I think they've upgraded the wide receiver spot in a big way. I mean, Ja'Cory Barney, back in December when you're doing interviews with him, he's like, yeah, I'm going to change things when I get there. You know, I'm a playmaker. I'm going to go be a playmaker there, and I'm going to help out right away. And I think anybody who saw his, like, post-spring game interview, that confidence does not leave him. Like, I think he talked about taking one back to the house against Colorado at one point.
He sure did.
So, yeah, he's a guy who's got that Miami swag to him, and he expects to get it done. But you're right. We didn't even see some of the parts as much or at all that are going to be critical, and you still felt pretty good about, like, the stuff on the perimeter. Like, Jamal Banks was very limited because I think they – you know what they have in Jamal. But so that's going to be a bigger part of it than was exhibited Saturday. I thought Nayer looked really good when he got like that. He caught that pass. You know, like, it got called back, I think, but you saw that he's one of those like long striders who has that like gear that kicks in like halfway through the run where a defender's taking an angle and thinks he's got him. And it's like, nope, he's past you. So I think that can be a pretty good deal. It's really too bad about Demetrius Bell because I really do think he was or could factor in whenever he gets healthy from that injury. And of course, Malachi wasn't out there either. So yeah, they have more weapons. And then there's like sort of the interesting stuff with, like, you know, Bonner, you know, coming out working with the ones, and they have just different body types they can use. They have these guys like Jalen Lloyd who can, you know, sprint by people and make good plays on the ball downfield. And then you got a guy like Bonner who's a 220-pound guy who can basically be like a fullback, like he was last year on those, you know, some of that screen stuff we're talking about. Like, get a guy like him or Malachi in front of some of those guys like Lloyd Barney and let them block and see what those guys can, if they can turn short passes in the 25-yard gain. So to your question, yes, I feel a lot better about the receiving part that's connected to the QBs than a season ago. Running back, I still am like, I've been the whole spring. It's like, we'll see what it gets to in the fall, how Irvin comes back. And I think Emmett, you know, leads the pack right now. But, you know, Ramirez obviously going to have a significant role of some sort. But that's the one spot where I just say I don't know yet, you know. So, and that's a big position. So if, for those who say it's all Kool-Aid, there's that spot where we'll throw out that, like, caution flag, because I don't know exactly what they have there yet.
Yeah, definitely still a question, and will be going into the fall. BC, I want to ask you about the portal. And so they had a new entrant yesterday with Raquan Buckley, and this is more about guys leaving or lack of leaving than it is about anybody coming in. What have you, how have you felt about Rule's approach? And he even kind of expressed some of this out loud, which is, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, hey, if you're here, we think we can make something out of you. We think this is the best place for you. And, you know, if you leave, we're going to try and help you out, but you know, it's good luck after that. I'm like, it's sort of, I don't know how unique of an approach it is, but it's sort of different, and they don't, you know, they're very upfront with people who are either thinking about going into the portal, because there's way, way more guys who didn't end up going in the portal who certainly had the thought of, like, I might go. And, you know, they've, a lot of them stayed in this kind of cycle. Like, how do you feel like Nebraska handles that, and Matt Rhule specifically, right now in this kind of crazy time with the portal moving?
I wonder if there's some, if it's convincing guys, when you look over the fence at what's over there and someone's offering you, is it really a better opportunity, or are you a depth piece for them, you know, to boost the, like, their second or third team? Like, in a lot of these cases, what sounds like a guarantee somewhere is not that. Like, you're going someplace to help bulk out their roster. Now, maybe you're going to earn your spot and you'll get a little more money with that, but if you feel good about your setting and the resources around you in Lincoln and how this coaching staff can develop you, maybe you are second or third on the depth chart as a first or second year guy right now, but try to look at the long-term picture here. Like, what do you think the setup here gives you that opportunity 2 or 3 years now to be the best player you can be? And if you think you can be that elsewhere, go ahead.
Right.
We'll stack up what we have here and how we develop guys and our track record with putting them in the NFL, and the facilities and all that stuff, all the extras that come with being a Husker player. I mean, he even mentioned at one point, I'm not saying it's a pat us on the back, but I think it's a real thing, like the attention you get here. I mean,
sure. You're
like the, I mean, you spend a lot of your show talking about Husker football. That's all we do, is like all year long. And we do profiles on every one of these guys. We'll do stories on guys who might play 50 snaps or less, you know, by when we get to the season, but they get stories about them in the spring. It's just a different environment here. And I think you put that all in front of a kid and just say, just think about all this, you know, before you make that decision, and really look into what you're doing before you step forward with that. Because what sometimes looks like it's an awesome opportunity, and then occasionally maybe it is, and then the coach pats the guy in the back, says, we wish you well, like, I'm happy for you. Like, I think that happened with Timon Lineham. Like, he was a good, like, depth player here, and it sounded like, you know, Matt Rhule and the staff was really supportive of him. Like, if you can find a spot where you get a little bit better opportunity to play or whatever, we want that for you, to have success for you individually. But if not, you have a spot here. So I think there's cases where if they talk through it with the player in detail, they can kind of get on the same page, and it's not always like a messy breakup or anything like that. It doesn't have to be that way. And that's one thing that's been kind of nice. It feels like a lot about those few that we've had with Nebraska is legitimately, I don't think they've been real messy breakups, you know, like some of these places we're reading about. So that's kind of a nice part of it.
What he's saying is, like, if, hey, you're here, and if it doesn't work, like, we're going to give you every single opportunity to get whatever it is you want out of this, whether it's play or, you know, make money, become fame, like whatever you want to do out of this, you're going to have the opportunity to do so. And if you don't, it's on you. It's like, because we look at our track record and look at what we've done. How much confidence in their ability to identify and develop, like, does it take to say that out loud and have it, you know, be true, basically?
Yeah, you have to have confidence. You also have to have something on, like, in your past that shows, like, there are success stories like that, which I think they can – I don't know how often they actually do that, like, talk with players at Nebraska about, like, specific cases at, like, Temple or Baylor, but they do have them. I know, like, when they were at Temple, there are some kids from really tough backgrounds and stuff. This was obviously before all the portal stuff, but they had, you know, the – had to have tough conversations with them about their what they're getting done and all that, and it worked out, you know, for those players. So I think that background is probably really useful to put in front of players sometimes. But also, it's just, I think it's really comes down to, like, is this a coach, like a position coach, that the player trusts, like cares about him for more than just the football part? And if you make a player understand that's how you are, you care about their family, you really care about their success, like, you want the best for them no matter what, those guys are going to tend to trust you at the end of the day and not know if they're going to get that same sort of relationship elsewhere. So as much as all this stuff's going on and these shiny objects are all around us, I do still think it always comes back to just that relationship part, like who can establish it the best between player and coach. And you are going to lose a few along the way, but a lot of guys still are going to crave that, like, that he cares about me more than just as a player. And I know recruits talk about that all the time when we interview them. So I think they've done pretty well at having players believe that's what these coaches want for them. And I think you're seeing that as being effective in keeping them here in this weird time in college sports.
All right, Brian, we will let you go. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Brian Christopherson of Husker 24/7, off to the summer. Yes, it's time on the Husker websites, whether it's Husker 24/7 or Husker Online, wherever else you get your information. Before you know it, there'll be like a countdown to something. You know,
no Josh, countdowns in the month of May.
Josh Peterson's favorite thing. These websites are going to start breaking those rules. They're going to be like, hey, it's 100 whatever. I believe yesterday we hit the college football equinox.
We're now closer to college football than we are further away from it?
Correct. Okay. We're now closer to the beginning of the season than we are closer to the end of the previous season.
Let's go.
Which is good. And sure. So I think 100 days to college football is in like 2 weeks. And
right,
so
time to dust off your list. It was the best top 100 of the 80s.
Who were the top 100 players in Nebraska's roster? That's a list.
Who's Rank the them. Best player to ever wear number 99?
Exactly. You see, you're getting it, Josh.
Oh, yeah. We got content.
You know how this goes. All right, Josh has the odd news when we return on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. But first, a note from my friends from the FanDuel Sportsbook. You got to get in on this NBA playoff action. A couple games tonight for you, but here's the pot sweetener. New customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. $150 to use on things like same-game parlays, championship futures, live bets, and so much more. So it's easy for you. Let me set one up right now. Mavs, they're shutting down the Clippers tonight. It's over. So use that, place that $5 bet, and you get $150 in bonus bets. That is for new customers. No reason for you to not get over to the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, which is, of course, America's number one sportsbook. Go to FanDuel.com/Happer. And get your butt started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.